Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. How is everybody? August 17th, 2021, Tuesday, and it's a beautiful day, I think. Got up this morning, a little cloudy. I don't know, we're in that part of the year, in that part of the summer where, you know, you're holding on, please don't change. But it's changing, and you can kind of feel it. I can, at least. The last end of part of August, it's always a little, August can be hot, but start getting a little kiss of fall, and I'm a big fan of the fall, so it's good. Feels good. Air feels good. It's a little muggy, but we're all good. So how is everybody doing today? I have no complaints. Had a great weekend. Little bit lazy. I've been a little, little bit hard on myself, I should say. Or at least I'm thinking about it quite a bit. Saturday, I worked till like noon, went home, and basically sat around and watched TV all freaking day. Took a nap. I don't know. I mean, it was my day off, I guess. I mean, I worked part of the day, but it is the day of rest. I don't know. We have such an interesting environment here where we live that it's not easy. It's very easy, excuse me. It's easy to avoid doing stuff and blame it on traffic. I mean, we definitely have an issue with traffic, but it's easy to blame all my laziness on it. And I'm not sure that that is fair because there's still a lot of stuff I could be doing just around the house in general. But I've lost a little bit of my fire. I think back to just even a few years ago, I was very, very active. And I'm active, but, you know, like I would utilize the most of my time. And today I'm a little less driven to utilize my time and a little more driven to just chill. And I don't think I'm the only person that does that. I love watching these. I'm in Pat McAfee. I don't know if anybody's ever seen Pat McAfee's show, but it's kind of like a sports show. But he has these guys, and they kind of, you know, back him up, kind of contribute to the show. I love the show. It's so funny, and it's so sloppy that it's perfect because it's a reminder that everything doesn't have to be perfect, especially in podcasting. But these guys, you know, they're one of the parts of their show or the podcast is they talk about things they've watched. And these guys, you know, I listen to them, and they'll binge like a whole season of a show. And I'm thinking, okay, so they really had to sit on that couch for quite a while. And I've, you know, as of this point, I have not binge watched a whole season of a show. I think the last time we might have done that was when we watched Ted Lasso, the first season of that, and we may have binge watched a big chunk of it. But besides that. So part of me is like, hey, see, these guys are just as fucking lazy. And they're on TV. So I must not be doing that bad. But it has been on my mind. So I'm hoping I'll get reinvigorated. I don't know, maybe it could be a little bit of depression. Just from whatever that we're going through, maybe. I don't know, maybe it's depression I'm not really recognizing. Because honestly, everything's pretty good. So I don't know if that's it. There has been times in my life where I'll like go for a run and just realize how shitty I've been feeling and be like, okay, all right, we need to push through this. I think part of it is I have not really been running. I did run the other day, which was amazing. And I'm like, you know, don't do it. You're not going to be able to do it. Things are starting to hurt. Your back's giving you a lot of problems. But as soon as I started running, I was fine. Banged out. I was going to just run like a mile. Ran three. I am my worst damn enemy. You know, why don't you stay home and cook dinner? Be for the family. And this is what I start doing. I don't really get it. I don't get it. It's really because it's an inconvenience. The meetings are kind of a pain in the ass. And I believe me, step meetings, and it was on the eighth step. I can't tell you how many times I've been in an eighth step meeting. I've read this step many times. So there's many reasons why I could skip it. But the point of it is that it is an inconvenience. That's what meetings are about. They don't talk about that, but that's what it's about. It's about being inconvenienced. Everything that, you know, work, inconvenience, you know, sharing up front, inconvenience, showing up to the meeting, inconvenience, you know, shaking hands, it's all a big inconvenience, but that's our deficiency. That's humility, you know, showing up. Everything opposite of what I want to do to me is humility. You know, there's self and then there's humility. So going to a meeting is not what self wants to do. It's what I need to do, so I do it, and that's called humility. And usually self, you know, gets in the back seat. So, but yesterday self showed up for the first time in a while telling me that maybe I should skip the meeting. And, you know, I didn't. I went. But it is interesting because self is still there. And clearly self is not completely banished out of my life. So it's just a better, it's an even more important reason that I get to these damn meetings, because it is that way. It's a self-run business here. So, anyway, I did go to the meeting yesterday. Step eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. You know, this is I was at the meeting last night, and it's, you know, you sit and people share and you listen and you, you know, unfortunately, the things that people say, I listen to and I think, you know, it gives me a kind of an idea of where they're at, and it reminds me of early sobriety, this self-driven side of my sobriety, the sobriety part that was there to stop drinking. And I remember one of my first sponsors that I did this step with, and it was, you know, I remember that it was always about the list, right? You know, because the self-centered side of me wants to be the best at this step. You know, made a list of all persons we had harmed. Okay, let's get out the pencil. Let's start sharpening it up. Let's start scratching away here. Let's list them all. And because I wanted to appear to my sponsor that I was very into it. I wanted to appear to all the people that I would be putting on the list that I was better and that they needed to forgive me. It was all about how it appeared, how I appeared, the effort I was putting into it, and it seemed perfectly fine, right? But the challenge is that word rightly again, you know? And I think rightly sits in between self-centered and humility. You know, it's sobriety, rightly, serenity. Right? Because I did a lot of stuff in sobriety, but I didn't do it rightly. So when I first did this step, you know, I went through it. It was the thing after the seventh and the thing before the ninth, right? It was this process, and I wanted to look up for the sponsor, my sponsor, and, you know, I had a notebook, and, you know, I'm listening to everybody. But it was for the wrong reason. And unfortunately, that was just one facet of a bad sobriety recovery program. But the thing about it is that I didn't know, right? Nobody said anything. And I think that I really needed to go through all of that because eventually I would drink. You know, I hear people, oh, I have never drank since my sobriety date. I know one guy, I got sobriety on one, sober on 1/1/11. You know, like it's, come on. Like it just got lucky that your sobriety date are all ones. You know, there's self involved in that, right? When you start bragging about your date number, self. But, you know, whatever. It was just another bad part of my recovery. And so I made this list, and the reality was there was probably, in the end of my drinking and into my my using, I really didn't have a lot of friends. I never really had a lot of friends before. I mean, I had participants, but not a lot of friends. So my list consisted of like my family, my parents, some girlfriends, some old friends. You know, there's a lot of that stuff in there I call casualties of war. You know, I owed an amends to my first girlfriend's father. I stole some money from him. Felt like a shithead for doing that. Don't ask me even why I did it. It was there. Just took it. Big lesson. Never do that again. But he deserved an apology. And so, you know, that first list was, you know, some serious mining down into the depths of the past to try to figure out who I could look good to with an apology. And, you know, going into the 9th, 10th, I don't even really, you know, my first run through these steps, I don't even know if I even got to the 12th step, to be honest with you. I can't even really remember. But I know that I would end up drinking and using and struggling and changing my sobriety date and then changing it again over pain pills. And, you know, 6-7 years into that, I started to understand, like, what the fuck? You know, this isn't about the quantity. It's about the quality. It's not about the prayer. It's about the attempt. And that is the part that I started to understand. And I remember doing this step with my buddy Matt, and he, you know, we made a list of about 5 or 6 people, and he's like, do you kind of understand what's going on here? And I was like, I think so. And he goes, it's really... And it was funny because a bunch of people shared last night and nobody mentioned the word willing. Willing. You know, there is, you know, I come into like a lot of weird things in my day, a lot of things I would rather not do. But I know it's the right thing and I have to find the willingness in it. You know, self's like, oh, you ain't got time to do that. Or, you know, there's other things you could be doing besides that. But I have to find the willingness. And that's to really get in and to find the tough ones. And so to be willing to do this for no recognition, right? To be willing to do this to not look like the good guy in the end. Because that's kind of what I was looking for in the first time. It's like, heck yeah, I'm great at apologizing. I can make a whole list of people and apologize and look great and they'll like me again. And that's not the case. It's not the case. So it was really about the willingness. But like I said in the meeting last night, I go, this 8th step really starts off a lot earlier, like in the first step. made a decision. No. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And I've told this before, you know, this, you know, if I'm coming from a self-driven, self-centered, getting sober motivation, all I hear was my life unmanageable, alcohol. Quit alcohol fixes all the problems. And that's the attitude and the position that I took when I went into this step the first time. But like I shared last night, you know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else. You know, it's about being honest. And I shared last night, I go, listen, I actually probably could have kept going. I could have drank longer. The only reason I stopped is because my life had become an inconvenience for everybody else. It had become unmanageable from the guy that punched me in the face in the bar. It had become unmanageable to my parents because I did not call them that night. It had become unmanageable to my boss, did not call him that night. You know, there was one person I hung out with that was just like me, and that was the person that I called. My life had not become unmanageable to that person yet. So, you know, understanding, to be honest, listen, you'd probably still be drunk. You know, the only reason I got sober is because I had no real choice at the time. I made some life-changing decisions early, quickly, and I probably, if I had had a couple more hours, if I had had maybe a night with an ice pack and some Advil, maybe would have restrained from doing that. But I went on the feeling and the thought at the time, which was, how can I get my ass out of this fucking predicament? So I had to make a phone call, and I went to the hospital, still not calling my parents, still not calling my boss, still not calling all the people that my life had become unmanageable to. And then I remember that nurse going, do you think you have an alcohol problem? And I said, yes, I think I do. And I'd been thinking about it. It had been on my mind. Going to see my doctor. I'm depressed. I have depression and I have anxiety. And he asked me, how much do you drink? I said, maybe a beer. Big lie, minus the bottle of vodka every night. He said, well, if that's all you're drinking, then maybe you have anxiety. Maybe you are depressed. And remember putting me on medication. Didn't fix it. So I'd been thinking about this condition in my life for quite a while. Calling the AA hotline. You know, I talked about wanting to shoot myself in the head with a bow and arrow. I mean, it was just a fucking mess. So when this opportunity showed up, I took it. And I got lucky. I got lucky. Actually, I got lucky once and then would drink again. And I can tell you, guys and gals, when that, if you have the miracle of to have the alcohol, the desire to drink taken from you, and you're free of that desire, it's a freaking gift, because I remember drinking and I could not stop. Bought that vodka and I was hiding bottles by the end of the week. Could not stop. And I was telling myself, listen, you can probably try it. If it's not going to work, just quit. You've been sober, or you've been free from drinking alcohol probably at this point 4 years. So I'm like, listen, if you don't like it, just stop. You haven't been drinking, so it shouldn't be an issue. Not true. Fucking drank, and I could not stop. Living over in Easton, sneaking bottles and drinking, quitting my job, dragging my wife back over to Delaware, and then just sneaking and drinking. You know where I run down by this trail, the Breakwater Junction Trail. I run down there, and I run down this road and jump on the trail, but there's this place down there where you can kind of park. And I used to park down there in my car and drink. You know, my wife maybe would be home or something. And I was so arrogant that I would sit down there and drink like Mike's Hard Lemonades or something with some weird shit. And then I would go in and say, hey, I'm home drunk. I mean, not only could I not stop, but I couldn't even stop, like, getting completely smashed and then acting like I wasn't in front of my wife. It was worse. And the other worst part about it is that when I was drinking prior, you know, to getting sober, I had nothing. I lived in a one-bedroom apartment. I was living by myself in a shit box, had a shit job, living under shit people, hanging out in shit bars. And then I got sober, and I got married, and we had a house and all this shit. And then all of a sudden, I start drinking again, and I'm like this same douchebag, but now my whole world's gotten better. So that's even worse. You know, now I'm really hurting people that love me. You know, now I'm really, you know, threatening the future of our house and our financial situation and our relationship. Didn't care. Couldn't stop. Could not stop. And then I was taking Vicodin. I remember taking the Vicodins, throwing up in a bucket and picking the Vicodins out because I was such a, just disgusting. And this is all because I decided, hey, you could probably try drinking. Try it. If you don't like it, just stop. Doesn't happen. Does not happen. It's not how I'm cut out. That is the alcoholic in me. If I start, I can't stop. So to, you know, so to try to understand, you know, this self-centered, self-motivating side of it, or this, you know, humility side of it, you know, it would be years. And then when, you know, finally working with my buddy Matt, and I started to kind of take this from a more humility side of it, and I started looking at, you know, my real issue, which is my lack of humility. A lot of us suffer from that. We see it right now. You know, this latest thing, you know, in the news, I don't know if you've seen the news, but, you know, we pulled out of Afghanistan. And, you know, yesterday it went real bad. It did not look good. But, you know, the reality is that we've been complaining about being in Afghanistan for a long time. You know, why are we wasting our money in a country that's not even ours? You know, we are, you know, we could be using that money to take care of our own country, the United States, you know. And finally, Biden's like, you know what, let's get out of there. Well, I mean, I think it started with Trump, but, and so he pulls everybody out. And now everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe he pulled everybody out. Good for him, man. We have been lied to, tricked. I don't know if people get it, but war is business. And if you're in the war business, you've been making a lot of money. You know, as I get older, I see how kind of life is. And you start realizing, you know, as a kid, I just thought we had military because we were guarding. No, this is big business. You know, we had really no business. I mean, I guess with Osama bin Laden, getting him, sure. But to spend 20 years in a place that doesn't even, I mean, these people have been, this is their life that's been that way for thousands of years. So for us to go in there and think that we can change people, it's very arrogant. And I don't like to say these people, the folks over, the Afghans, I guess. You know, they just got completely screwed over by us, of course. And it's just embarrassing. And the fact of all the money they spent over there in the last 20 years, trillions of dollars. And really, the people that are getting rich are like people that are in the, you know, the military business. You know, my father was in the military, and I'll never forget the day he told me when they tore down the wall, and his boss called him in. He said, "Guys, we got a problem." And they're like, "What? We just, you know, just ended the Cold War." And he goes, "Yeah, we don't have an enemy. You know, we need to appear like we have an enemy, so we can budget tons of money to buy tons of tanks and planes and all this shit so that we can protect us from this enemy that we kind of invented." And the problem in the military is that if you don't use your budget, they take it away, and then you can't get that money back. And that's exactly why I think we ended up in Afghanistan. You know, I remember going over and getting Saddam Hussein. Remember that whole thing? Oh my God. Weapons of mass destruction, which never were. Never found them. Because it was all a lie. You know, we live in a country that seems like we're lied to a lot. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's very weird. I feel bad, you know. I feel bad for the folks over there. It's a shame. people hanging onto a plane while it takes off and just falling off. It's awful. All right, well, let's do a reading. Let's see. I did a podcast yesterday with my friend Ashley on the Rehoboth Social, and we were just, she has visitrehoboth.com. She puts out a book, Catch a Glimpse. It's a cute book, but we talked about it yesterday, and she's like, oh my God, I hope I didn't say anything I shouldn't have said. And she just texted me and said, I listened to the podcast. It's actually really good. And I agreed. I thought it was good. Let's see. Daily reflections. Here we go. All right, here we go. August 17th. Right? Yeah, August 17th. Writing the harm. I like that. In many instances, we shall find that the harm done others has not been great. The emotional harm we have done ourselves has. Yeah. In many instances, we shall find that though the harm done others has not been great, the emotional harm we have done ourselves has. Yes. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 79. Have you ever thought that harm you did a business associate? Wait a minute. Start that again. Have you ever thought that the harm you did a business associate or perhaps a family member was so slight that it really didn't deserve an apology because they probably wouldn't remember it anyway? If that person and the wrong done to him keeps coming to mind time and again, causing an uneasy and perhaps guilty feeling, then I put that person's name at the top of my amends list and become willing to make a sincere apology, knowing I will feel calm and relaxed about the person once this very important part of my recovery is accomplished. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's probably obvious, but I don't do any. I'm basically just sharing every time I do this podcast. I don't have any notes or anything. I'm just kind of going along the meeting that we're doing on Monday nights. But it's funny how, you know, the eighth step is about this list. And it's funny that that when I read these daily reflections, they sometimes reflect on what's going on in my life. And this is exactly it. You know, when I started that list the first time, it was about quantity, right? It was about how I looked making the list. It was about going to the deepest, darkest places, right? And finding these people and apologizing and making myself appear better person by person. And the reality is that it's the hard ones, right? It's the ones that you feel most embarrassed about. It's the ones that make you feel the most shame, you know, and then become willing. You know, you'll meet people like, oh, hell yeah, I'll do it, but I'm not apologizing to that person. Right? Well, you know, I'm kind of going through this a little bit right now. I've talked about a relationship that I have with a person that wasn't really very nice. And I, you know, the more I think about it, I kind of wasn't very nice either. I kind of got caught up into the game and was having, you know, the back and forth. And eventually my feelings kind of got annoyed. And then I started really thinking about it. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And just kind of walked away from the relationship, which I haven't heard. My phone hasn't rung, right? Nobody's reached out to me to try to clean this mess up. But I know, and I've been thinking about it a lot. I know I want to reach out and say, listen, I want to clean this up. But part of me is like, well, fuck, my phone hasn't rang. Maybe I was never a friend. Doesn't matter, right? You need to clean this up. And I need to clean this up. But it's the tough ones, right? It's the tough ones. And at this moment, I'm struggling with my willingness to do it. But, you know, that's what it's about. It's the willingness. It's not the biggest list. It's not if you fucking do that list in calligraphy, right? It's about the willingness to do it. The willingness to say, hey, you know what? I just want to apologize. And they say, you know what? I don't fucking care. I don't want your apology. That's always an option. Or I wasn't your friend anyway. I never liked you anyway. I just wanted, you know, this or that. That's always an option. That could come out of their mouth, and that would hurt. But it's the willingness to not only, you know, reach out and try to clean stuff up, but it's the willingness to accept whatever answer is given to me. All right. Have a great day. Bye. Doesn't